Welcome back to Thyroid Strong Podcast. I'm Dr. Emily Kybert. I'm a chiropractor, functional medicine doc. And today we are going to talk about something that is slightly taboo. If you are tracking your macros, you're lifting consistently, you're doing all the things with Hashimoto's and the scale will still not move, what if the problem is not your diet? It's not the macros. It's not the calories. What if it's a parasite? That's right, ladies. Listen again. What if it's a parasite? And some of you might have just squirmed in your seat and been like, no, no, no. I haven't traveled out of the country. You can only get that in a third world country. Well, guess again. Today, we're going to talk about parasites, gut health, and weight loss resistance. And my friends, you can get parasites in the United States, even if you've never left the country. So what are parasites really? Parasites are organisms that feed off of your body or live in your body, especially the GI tract. Parasites can live in multiple organs. You can find parasites in your gallbladder, in your liver, like liver flukes. They are not only in your gut or your intestines. The two main parasites that I look at are protozoa, which are single-cell parasites. Those would include Giardia, Diatomeba fragilis, Blastocystis hominis. They are harder to detect and definitely more stealth than the other parasites, also known as worms or helminths. This would include pinworms, tapeworms, hookworms, whipworm. They are larger, definitely more obvious, but often missed with conventional testing. And you don't have to travel to the jungle or drink river water to get parasites. I mean, Giardia, if you're going camping in Rocky Mountain National Park, like I did last summer and got Giardia. But they are way more common here in the States than we think. So how can you contract parasites? Get a pen and paper. Let's make a list. So everyday sources of potential exposure to parasites. Sushi, especially raw tuna or salmon. I know on my hashi journey when I was diagnosed back in 2016, I was eating tons of sushi. I was going to all the Michelin-starred sushi restaurants. It was amazing. And I also had Hashimoto's, full-blown brain fog, massive fatigue, couldn't lose the last 30 pounds after having a baby. So sushi, especially raw, like raw tuna, salmon, a source of parasites, even salmon that you're going to cook, like if you picked it up at Costco, can have parasites. Biting your nails, because things get under the nail bed, and then you bite it, and then it gets transmitted orally. Walking barefoot in a public park or sandbox or anywhere really. Undercooked meat, specifically pork, beef, maybe some wild game. I do love a good medium rare steak. I have some functional medicine doc friends who only cooked well-done meat. That is not my jam. I'm willing to move the needle on that with a medium steak, but I do not eat sushi anymore. Unwashed produce, vegetables. So tapping into using baking soda, vinegar, there are even some functional medicine docs that will recommend using a bleach solution for your vegetables to kill off the parasites or little worms that might be living in there. I also use Therasage's ozone machine to wash my produce. It could simply be a restaurant worker not washing their hands after they went number two and then prepping your food. Living with pets, I'm going to almost guarantee that you have some parasites. You deworm your dogs, but why don't we deworm ourselves? In other countries, like in Bali, they deworm the kids before they go back to school every 6 months. Kids who put everything in their mouths probably have some parasites. And so if you have a pulse, you probably have a parasite. Do parasites affect everyone in the same capacity? Absolutely not. When with Hashimoto's that potentially have lower stomach acid function, probably have more parasites passing through the GI tract. So how can parasites affect us more intensely with Hashimoto's? Parasites trigger inflammation, so they can cause low-grade inflammation in the gut. They can increase immune markers like CRP, C-reactive protein. Eosinophils would be a marker on a CBC with a differential. If your eosinophils are 3 or above, you got to put parasites on the list. And parasites can also break down your gut lining, leading to leaky gut. So think of your gut lining like this barrier with little villi, little fingers. And when there's a tight junction, it can keep parasites, bacteria, chunks of food out. and keep all of that inside the gut. But when the junction, the villi, become separated, which is a sign of leaky gut, then food, bacteria, viruses can pass through the gut lining into the bloodstream. And when that happens, then that stuff is floating around in the bloodstream and our body's like, attack, this is foreign material. And it causes low-grade inflammation. So leaky gut, breakdown of the gut lining due to a parasite can lead to increased inflammation and trigger an autoimmune disease. The immune system goes on overdrive, thyroid antibodies go up. So leaky gut is a symptom. Yes, it's a diagnosis, but it's also a symptom. What is driving the leaky gut? We always ask why. Why does someone have leaky gut? We don't just address the leaky gut. We always ask why, and parasites could be one of those root causes. And at the end of the day, when we are driving down inflammation, it's not just, hey, let's use some supplements, let's tap into some medication. It's what is driving the inflammation up. What is the root cause? Is it mold exposure, parasites, food sensitivity, stress? And so we look at it all inside of my root cause functional medicine practice. Key nutrients are needed for energy and thyroid health. When we have parasites, the ability for us to absorb the nutrients coming from our food is less. So oftentimes I'll look at blood work and I'll look at anemia. And if someone has iron deficiency anemia and they have high eosinophils and their other inflammatory markers are going up and they have signs of bloating, brain fog, maybe they eat and then they feel like they need to take a nap. Maybe their pancreatic function is not optimized and they are not producing enough digestive enzymes to break down the food. We start to look at parasites, especially if someone has signs of anemia and they're taking iron, supplemental iron, and they're not getting better. It's not the iron. It's that there's something else causing this deficiency, probably a worm or lots of worms attached to the side of the intestine, sucking the blood, causing anemia, poor iron saturation levels. We look at as well as part of an iron panel. And we also look at ferritin, which can be used to check as an inflammatory marker. Parasites often coexist with other gut infections like H. pylori, which is a bacteria in the stomach, can drive down our own stomach acid production. So if we're not making enough stomach acid, we're not going to kill any parasites we get exposed to. Secondary to H. pylori, candida, SIBO. Candida is yeast or fungal overgrowth. SIBO is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Those, yes, are diagnoses, but they are symptoms. Candida and SIBO are often secondary to either mold or parasite. So if you have SIBO, you have this bloating in the lower two-thirds of your belly and you keep treating it, or maybe you do a SIBO breath test and it keeps coming back positive and you keep addressing it with rifaximin over and over again, you're like, why isn't it going away? I'm doing the low FODMAP. I'm not eating the sugar. I've cut out all my favorite vegetables. And it keeps coming back. It's because something else is driving it. And then we ask why. And one of those whys is parasites. So it's not just what you eat. It's also what you absorb. And parasites block the absorption of your food, of your thyroid medication, at every single level. So how can parasites sabotage your metabolism? How can it cause weight loss resistance? So it can disrupt insulin sensitivity. It can affect our detox pathways, which include estrogen recirculation, could lead to estrogen dominance. It can tank our mitochondrial energy production. Mitochondria are the little powerhouses of our cells. And when they start to get tanked, we get fatigued. We have less movement in our day because we're laying on the couch. And then we start to gain weight, despite feeling like we're doing all the things. They can increase our cortisol, which can then lead to blood sugar dysregulation, our ability to not regulate glucose coming into the system from what we eat. And then that leads to fat storage, especially around the lower belly. You can have lower belly bloat, itching of the rectum. Hello, pinworms. Itching of the rectum, especially around the full moon. Waking up between 1 and 3 a.m., that is like parasite dance party hour, mood swings, food intolerances, and you've cut out all the food, And you're like, nothing's changed. I cut out the food. I reintroduced it. Bloating, fatigue, brain fog, it hasn't changed. It's because it's not about the food. So you could be doing all the right things and still feeling puffy, stuck, and inflamed. So here's a little story time. First one is a client that I'm currently working with. Her name is Alex. She's been working out, lifting weights for 2 years. She went keto, lost 35 pounds, but gained it all back because she's like, I really love rice and bread, and I do want the carbs. And we ran a GI map. So a GI map is a stool test, a functional stool test. It looks at the DNA fragments of parasites, protozoa, and worms in the stool. It also looks at inflammation markers of the gut, and it also looks at the diversity of your gut microbiome. And what we found was that she had a protozoa, and the treatment is metronidazole, also known as Flagyl. And I always give clients the conventional route, go ask your doctor for these meds, or the nutraceutical supplement route. The conventional route is shorter. It's like 10 to 14 days, but it can be more intense. There can be die-off symptoms, increased fatigue, bloating, brain fog. For some people, not for everyone. And then the nutraceutical approach is typically 60 to 90 days. Typically 90 days because the life cycle of a parasite is 90 days. And so she chose like, get in, get out, get it done. Let's get this parasite over with. And on a 10-day metronidazole treatment, day 3, I quote her, she's like, I just thought this was my body. I didn't think it could change. I just thought when I ate, I would get gassy and burpy and bloated. This is just how it is. And it's not. Like day 3 of a 10-day treatment, I feel so much better. I didn't know I could feel this good.
I got tested and I have a parasite and I just finished treatment of the parasite. And I feel like a million times better. Symptoms that I didn't even know were symptoms. I thought they were stress or just the way that my body did things. I just assumed that this was just whatever it was, that this was just life now. So all of my gastro symptoms are pretty much gone. It's amazing. It never stopped me from eating, Emily, because I do love to eat. It's amazing that I don't feel like after I would eat, I would feel like my stomach would gurgle and I'd get really gassy and everything. I just assumed that's just what my body does. And I just get really bloated. And anyway, apparently it's not. My energy has been up, but last night I had energy to do stuff that I haven't done in years. I feel like so much better. And it's really weird because I didn't think that anything was super wrong. Like last night I made dinner late and then I cleaned up dinner and started the laundry. Emily, I haven't done that since 2020, but to have any energy after dinner was just so exciting. I am so close to my jeans fitting now.
Her bloating went down in 3 days. She just thought she had a belly. She's like, this is just like my genetics. My mom has a belly. My sister has a belly. I just have a belly. And she lost almost 5 pounds within 10 days. So addressing a parasite, especially when you're doing all the things, you're working out, you're moving your body, you're getting the steps, you're eating the food, you're cutting out the food, you're putting back in the food, you're trying to figure out what the heck with the food sensitivities, you might have an underlying parasite. And so I'm very much of a test, don't guess. The second story is Barbara. Barbara is 64, came to me wanting to get her energy back. She woke up every night between 1 to 3 a.m., like, bang. And then she took 2 naps a day because she was only getting 30 minutes of deep sleep a night because she wasn't sleeping because the parasite was having a dance party in her stomach. We checked her blood work, CBC with a differential. Her eosinophils were 10.5, 3 and above indicates a potential parasite. We checked a GI map. Her eosinophil activation protein was elevated, but the GI map did not pick up any parasites. What the heck? So we tapped into a more specific test that's sent to Africa, and they look at her stool under the microscope, and they found a moderate load of whipworm and a severe load of hookworm. And both of those can cause iron deficiency anemia, which she had on her blood work. And Her history had showed she had gone to South Africa, traveled 4 times over 12 years. She's like, how long have I had these guys? I was like, I don't know, maybe 12 years. So we address the parasite first with 90 days of nutraceutical supplements because her doctor wouldn't give her the medication. And then after the 90 days, her doctor gave her the medication. And so she did 10 days, 14 days of metronidazole. And she went from 209 pounds down to 175. So she lost 30 plus pounds as a 64-year-old. We didn't touch her calories. We didn't touch her macros. We only addressed the parasite. She was already moving her body. She was already eating well. And so I'm going to drop her audio.
I feel like a new woman. I'm not gonna lie. I
Remind me how much your starting weight was.
think it was 209.
So you've lost 34 pounds total.
I feel like I'm sleeping much better. I
Good.
mean, 6 hours to me is like the world,
I know.
because I just never sleep 6 hours. It's what made me turn the corner. I mean, the blood tests are all good and gives you clue, gives you little hints. But
Yeah.
I think that the GI map is what really, I mean, how long have I had these? Who knows? I mean, it could have been the first trip I went.
It could have been 13 years ago, 12 years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I blew the doctor away because she was talking about all the weight loss. And I said, well, I was told that if I got rid of the parasites, that chances are that weight's going to start coming on. And she looked
Yeah.
at me like, oh, Lord. And she said, I have to admit, I don't know anything about this. This is on all new territory. And now that I can eat veggies, I'm happy. I have Hashimoto's, but honestly, I think dealing with that other issue, my gut issue, now I feel like I can deal with my Hashimoto's better because I was just spinning my wheels with the Hashimoto's because it's like being a hamster on a wheel because it's just like until you figure out what's causing everything, you can't get off the hamster wheel. I'm really thinking the gut is key in so many things, whether it's parasites or whatever's causing it. It's helping my sensitivities to different foods. I noticed that I can eat things that I haven't been able to eat. Like I ate a little rice, I was fine. So I really do think it's a combination of things. And I just you opened the door to the right key. You had the right key to open the door to get
Yeah.
me to just it all just fell into place. I feel healthy. I feel healthier than I have in a long time.
When we address a parasite, after we do a test, don't guess approach, we need to open up the drainage pathways. If you're constipated, you can't just start pushing parasites out because you will feel terrible. You'll feel like death. So we want to make sure you're having bowel movements. There's good liver flow. There's good bile flow from the gallbladder, especially because some parasites can live in the gallbladder and the liver, including liver flukes. We use binders, maybe some charcoal, some GI detox, some citrus pectin, which is a more natural, gentle binder. And then we support stomach acid. So especially if H. pylori is in the mix, if you missed that episode, it's the episode before this. We talk all about H. pylori, this bacteria in the gut, more susceptible the Hashi ladies are to H. pylori and how it can decrease your own stomach acid production. And then we target with antimicrobials. It might be natural ones like artemisia, black walnut, cloves, mimosa pudica. But if you have severe load, it might require pharmaceuticals. I have women drink tons of water. I don't have them cut their calories during this time. It's already hard enough on the body. We make sure they're getting the protein. We make sure they're getting rest. And just know you can't just throw herbs at the parasite and hope for the best. Your terrain, your body as a host, the soil has to be ready to release them. So if you just raised your hand and just took a bunch of notes to this episode, and you're like, oh my God. This is me. If you're bloated, you're tired, if you feel inflamed, joint pain, can't lose weight, parasites might be at the root cause. Very taboo in this culture, but they're way more common than what we're told. And so conventional medicine docs kind of don't even want to touch them because they're like, no, it doesn't happen in the States. Way more common. If you have a pulse, you probably have a parasite. If you have pets, you definitely have a parasite. So, what I do with my clients, we do functional blood work, very deep dive, looking at inflammatory markers. Looking for any sort of signs of anemia, looking for eosinophils. We run a GI map to get to the root cause. And we sometimes tap into a more specific parasite test if it's not coming up on a GI map. So you don't need another workout, ladies. I mean, if you're not already doing Thyroid Strong, giddy up, let's go. But if you're not losing weight, it's probably not your workout. It's probably not your food. You just need to get to the root cause. And yes, it could be a parasite. So if you need help, if you're like, I need this. This is me. I just raised my hand. I have an itchy booty hole. I wake up at 2 a.m. every night. I'm fatigued, brain fog, bloated. And I've seen the GI doc, gotten the colonoscopy, gotten the endoscopy, and nothing has moved the needle. This is for you. So I'll drop a link on what it looks like to work together in my one-on-one functional medicine root cause approach. And ladies, if you enjoyed this podcast episode, write a review, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast episodes, and share with a friend. Share with a friend. There's so much information in here. Where you get it, how you get it, how to test for it, ways to address it. But if you want a personalized approach made for you, jump into my root cause functional medicine practice. Link is in the show notes. And ladies, always good to spend time with you. I'll see you next week.